ओम गणति मिनंदस्या जनार्दन सुलकया चक्षु सुमिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदमयं ददति सापनन्तिकम् वंशकल्पतुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Who remembers something from yesterday's class? Raise your hands, though. Don't call them. Who remembers something that we spoke about yesterday? Yes. What was the verse after? Krishnaya Vasudevaya. So again, obeisances to Krishna. And then Kunti Devi speaks two verses describing different varieties of calamities. That's okay. That she and Devaki and the whole Pandava family have been through very, very. By fire, by poison, they were attempted to be killed. They were removed from their position in the kingdom by cheating. In so many ways, there were calamities. Now, and then she spoke another verse, which is there. One Mataji told me that for years, she would chant the prayers of Queen Kunti every day. But when she chanted those prayers, she wouldn't chant that one verse. Vipara Shantu Tashashvad. But there's something very intriguing. That in the beginning of her prayers, who remembers the beginning, her first prayer? I'm looking also. Yes, Alaksham. So her question is, and then she asks, how is it possible, Katam Pashami, Histriya, how is it possible you're inside and outside of everything, but Alakshasava Bhutanam, we are so unfortunate, and this is Kunti speaking, with Krishna standing or sitting in front of her upon the chariot. So she is actually looking at the beautiful lotus face of Krishna, Kutila Kuntalam, with its curling blackish dark hair and lotus eyes and wonderful smile and wonderful, beautiful, sweet face. She is looking at Krishna and saying how unfortunate it is, Lakshasava Bhutanam, although you are actually everywhere, but we cannot see you anywhere. And even more unfortunate than that, in fact, is we have no desire to see him anywhere. We're satisfied just combining the senses with the sense objects, looking at something beautiful, trying to taste, smell, touch something beautiful, or hear something beautiful, and we forget about Krishna. Her question again is, Katam Pashami Histriya? How is it possible that we, who have so much in the way of contamination within the heart, and what are the contaminations within the heart? Practically speaking, they are material desires. This is how we carry our karma. From body to body, adishtayam, manastayam, visya upasevate. We carry, it is carried within by the desires we have. And according to how we desire, by the grace of the super soul, we are placed in one body or another body. So how is it that we can see Krishna? So Prabhupada, in answer to that, gives us such simple, practical advice that all we have to do is walk upstairs and walk in the temple room and look at the beautiful forms of the deities. The most practical, the most simple advice. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomam bhakta taraham. That I will, asnami means I will accept. If you bring me even a leaf, especially of course a tulsi leaf, in the singular, patram pushpam, a flower, fruit, or just some water, Krishna says, asnami, but bhakti paritam, if you bring it with devotion, I will accept it. So that is a very practical way that each and every one of us can see Krishna and develop our devotion to Krishna. Then Kunti offers her obeisances because she sees quite accurately that it is not possible to see Krishna by one's own power. The greatest philosophers, what are the three words that are used in the verse for the different varieties of philosophers? What is one? Does anyone remember? The Paramhansas, the Munis, and Amala Atmanam. Pure-hearted souls, Amal. No mal, no contaminations, but still they cannot see Krishna because bhakti is required, and bhakti comes from where? From more bhakti in the heart of the devotee. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, Sarvadamam Prityajam, Mamekam, you surrender to me, he tells Arjuna. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that in your case, Arjuna, I am making a special exception because one cannot surrender to me directly. One has to surrender to a servant of mine. In your case, I am making a special exception. So the bhakti comes from the devotees, practically speaking. So Kunti Devi, not from the power of one's intelligence, even if one is a great, great muni. As Prabhupada had said, and we read in the purport, that it comes by his mercy only. We're able to see him. His mercy is his kripa shakti. He places that in the heart of the devotees. So he offers his obeisances, or Kunti Devi offers her obeisances twice. And then she explains all the catastrophes. And then she says, as we read yesterday, Vipadashantu tashasvad. Tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyat. That I want the vipad to come again and again and again. Because the Pandavas were such quality devotees that in distress, in their difficulties, they just held more tightly to the lotus feet of Krishna and to remembrance of Krishna. So by your darshan, bhavato darshanat yatsyat apunar bhava darshanam. If I can hold to you tightly by seeing you, there will be no more seeing having darshan of bhava, the bhava sindhu of the ocean of birth and death. Now yesterday we read the entirety of Prabhupada's comment to this verse. The comments very short of Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur are very important, simple but important, because they also, and Prabhupada explains it in his purport too, but very directly, they are explaining, our acharyas are explaining another way, other than going to see the deity, that each and every one of us can see Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami says, darshan means seeing. And yet, in those calamities, seeing you in the calamities is extraordinary, because through it, through seeing you in difficulties, in through seeing your mercy in difficulties, one has the correct understanding. And that's what Srila Jiva Goswami says. And because such sweetness in seeing Krishna cannot be found anywhere else, one does not take birth again. And this explains Kunti Devi's mood. Because of the sweetness in seeing Krishna in each and every one of the difficulties that she's been through, she sees Krishna's hand. And in that, despite of the difficulties, the calamity and the misery and the strain and the stress of a difficult circumstance that accompanies every difficult circumstance, yet by holding on tightly to Krishna, there is a sweetness. And that sweetness is not of this world. And that sweetness, which is coming from Krishna, that will, and it cannot be found anywhere else. It is not of the mind. It is not of the intelligence. It is coming from Krishna, the transcendental platform. And that sweetness, having tasted that, it causes one to not take birth again. Seeing Krishna in calamities and seeing His mercy in that, in one sense, that's the easiest way to see Krishna, because they're happening all the time. Things that we don't want. This is the very nature of the material world. And if we see Krishna pushing and pushing and pushing us through that to perfect our Krishna consciousness, if we can actually see Krishna in that, then we are actually seeing. Vishwanath Chakravarti, this is exalted vision. Certainly this is exalted vision. But it is exalted vision that we are all meant to achieve. And we may fail to achieve it time and time again. But we are so fortunate that Krishna will give us more and more chances by sending more and more calamities. He's so kind. Vishwanath Chakravarti, this is the very nature of the material world. It is something we can be sure of, that the universe, the material world, will thwart each and every one of our attempts for lasting happiness here. We can count on that, because it is empowered by Krishna to act in this way. We can count on it. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Queen Kunti spoke the verse in order to show that these calamities were actually her assets. O Jagat Guru, O you who, being a well-wisher, removes the agitation of pride caused by so-called good fortune through applying the medicine of misfortune. He is Jagat Guru. He is teaching us through this medicine. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining Kunti Devi's mood so clearly. He's revealing something very secret about the material world. It is medicine. It may be bitter, but it is the medicine that we need. So through applying the medicine of misfortune, all the pride, because this is the greatest deficit, is pride, because it causes us to turn our back on Krishna. But the material world is so constructed. Prabhupada once said, an old man cannot be proud. Why? Because the mirror is there. Because he can no longer walk without assistance. He cannot run. He cannot see without assistance. Cannot enjoy. And yet, everyone else, Krishna replenishes the world with young people, even though I'm getting older. And they're all enjoying. And I cannot. Pride finished. So he applies the medicine of misfortune arisen by your mercy directly. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this. And seeing you, he says, in these misfortunes, one does not again see the pain of repeated birth and death. So, as I mentioned, perhaps this is the because we may go in the temple and see the deities, and then we may leave the temple. But this, as long as we're in the material world, we may try to leave calamities and difficulties, but they will never leave us. They will follow us. And that is Krishna. Now, the very nature of difficulties and calamities in this material world is medicine. It comes up also in further comments by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur at the end of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, where someone who was giving class a few days ago mentioned it, how Purkit Maharaj, he's asking that whoever worships Lord Shiva seems to become prosperous, and the devotees of Vishnu and Krishna, the opposite often happens. So why is that? Krishna, Vishnu is so opulent, and Lord Shiva is practically penniless and homeless. So why is this phenomenon, why does this take place? So Sukadeva Goswami answers this, and in one comment, one of the acharyas hints that this is near the end of the 10th canto. That means it's quite close, perhaps 5.5 days have passed of the seven days of his curse, and he will have to leave the world very, very soon. And he's noted very clearly that Krishna was with his relatives, the Pandavas, and they had so much difficulty. And there he himself is in such a difficult circumstance. So perhaps he's wondering, is Krishna really in this for me? Also, is his hand in this? Is his mercy in this? And Yudhisthira Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami quotes Yudhisthira Maharaj, one of the great Pandava king, Prikit Maharaj's forefather, and he's who we may be thinking about, so much difficulties came to this person who was the personification of Dharma. So what's going to happen to me, he could be wondering. So he quotes, Sukadeva Goswami quotes Yudhisthira Maharaj saying that your grandfather, he asked this same question previously about Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu and their appropriate devotees. And he asked that question of Krishna, and the question pleased Lord Krishna. The Lord and Master who had descended into the family of Yadu for the purpose of bestowing the highest good on man. The Lord replied as follows, as the king eagerly listened, why is it that devotees also undergo difficulties? Devotees of Krishna, who is the all-powerful Supreme Lord. Why doesn't everything happen perfectly? The way perfectly, of course, is defined by how I want the material world to be organized. So, his famous reply, Krishna's personal famous reply, is Yasyaham anugrahami hadisya tadanam shanai. And as Prabhupada once said about this verse, when I favor someone, I give him so many material things. And when I really favor someone, I take them away. Now it is a somewhat intricate topic. So he says, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. This is Krishna saying about... Now this isn't going to make very many devotees. This isn't a very good preaching strategy, is it? In this way, Krishna says, he suffers one distress after another. Jai. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a long comment on this. We'll read from parts of it. Although the happiness and distress devotees experience resembles ordinary karmic reactions, they are in fact given by the Lord Himself. As the Bhagavatam 10.87.40 states, Bhavab Uta Subha Subhayo, a mature devotee recognizes the superficially good and bad conditions he encounters in his life as signs of the direct guidance of his ever well-wishing Lord. This is the characteristic of a mature devotee. He will see Krishna everywhere. And tasyaham sulabha parta nitya yuktasya yogina. That if someone can see me everywhere, in every occurrence, everything, the whole universe, Vishwa, Purna, Sukhayate, he will see the whole universe as a place of happiness, not dukkala, ashashvatam, anitya, sukalo. He'll see it as Krishna continuously guiding him, training him, treating his disease, helping him. He'll see Krishna's loving touch in everything that happens. So then he raises a question, the Purvapaksha. But if the Lord is so compassionate to his devotees, why does he expose them to special suffering? I mean, he's all powerful. Maybe he can think of a different way to exhibit his kindness. And this is answered, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, by an analogy. A very affectionate father takes the responsibility of restricting his children's play and making them go to school. He knows that this is a genuine expression of His love for them, even if the children cannot appreciate it. Similarly, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is mercifully strict with all of His dependents, not only with immature devotees struggling to become qualified. Even perfect saints like Prahlad and Dhruva were subjected to great tribulations. And I will add that Prabhupada's life was not simple at all. It was not simple before he came to the United States and started the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and it was not simple after. Year after year after year, there was difficulties. Difficulty after difficulty. People he trusted left. There was attacks from this side, attacks from that side, struggling, continuously. In Fiji, in 1976, Jagatini Mataji and I were sitting in the room with Prabhupada, and he said, when I first began the movement, 1966, everything was so simple, few devotees, no complicated management, and everything was, what was the words he used? There was no anxiety, he basically said. He said there was no anxiety then. And now we are so successful and there's so much. No, there's so much we have. And he said, still there is no anxiety. And then he gave he was completely relaxed. And he just leaned back and smiled. And still there is no anxiety. How did he view all that he went through? We know what he said about the great struggle to acquire the Juhu land. He said it. He said quite a few things, but one of the things he said was, it was a good fight. And Prabhupada fought like Arjuna fought. Depended on Krishna, but used every single thing he could do, every intelligence that, and he fought and fought and fought, and he won. But still there is no anxiety. He lost sleep, and still there is no anxiety. What is the answer to this puzzle? It can only be seeing Krishna's hand in it and taking up the challenge continuously and not resenting it at all. And again, note that Prabhupada, by the time he was, the Krishna Consciousness Movement was well established, he was a multi-millionaire. Now we'll discuss this topic later, how Krishna takes, he's saying, I take everything. We'll discuss this specific topic later. And it comes in the next verse. So the Supreme Lord is mercifully strict with all His dependents, not only with the immature devotees struggling to become qualified. Even perfect saints like Prahlad and Dhruva were subjected to great tribulations. But in the end, the Lord gave them profuse enjoyment of wealth and material happiness. On the other hand, persons like Yudhisthira, the crest jewel of perfected saints, experienced great unhappiness. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishmadev described to King Yudhisthira his wonder at how much Yudhisthira had to suffer Yatra Dhammasuto Rajan Gadapanirvikrodara Krishna Astri Gandavam Chapam Surit Krishna Tato Vipad Nahi Yasya Kahichit Rajan Pumam Veda Viditsitam Yag Vigyasaya Yukta Muyanti Kavayopihi. Oh, how wonderful! This is what Bhishma Dev said to Yudhisthira, who was in such distress after what happened in the battle of Kurukshetra. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. Daiva. Daiva is also translated to mean the Lord Krishna. Fate also. Krishna's will. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion, in the presence of Bhim, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjun with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, in the presence of Lord Krishna, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas? O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord Krishna. No one can understand how he moves his devotees and how he moves the material world. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Thus, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, the conclusion is that only the Lord himself, being affectionate to his devotees, knows his own intentions, and no one else. One should refer to Bhishma Dev's prayers in the first canto to consider all the points mentioned here. But, because he always makes a point, and then the poor Vipaksha, but it may be questioned, what distinguishes the happiness and distress caused by one's own karma and the happiness and distress brought about by the personality of Godhead for his devotees? What's the difference? And he answers, material happiness and distress arising from karma leave a subtle residue. And that causes the seed of desire to sprout in the heart, karma bija, which causes future entanglement. Such enjoyment and suffering tend towards degradation and increase the danger of falling into hell. The happiness and distress generated from the Supreme Lord's will by his desire for his devotees, however, and not the jiva's desire, leaves no trace of karma or material desires. They are purifying after the immediate purpose of Krishna has been served. More on this topic. Because the devotees are objects of the Lord's affection, their suffering is never extreme. How can one consider the suffering arising from karma and that due to the Lord, the suffering arising due to the Lord, to be equal? One is like the pain arising from receiving a beating from an enemy, and the other is like the pain that is caused by the chastisement of one's mother. One is like poison, and the other is like nectar. And then he brings up an opposing point. But is it that the Lord, who can do anything, cannot accomplish his purpose of purifying the devotee or whatever else his purpose is without giving distress to his devotees? Can't he find another way? Yes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He, the reservoir of unlimited pastimes, cannot accomplish his purpose without this. But when he sometimes gives suffering to his beloved devotees, that suffering gives rise to great pleasure. just as a stinging ointment applied by a physician cures his patient's infected eye. In addition, so here's one point. He gives a few reasons why Krishna accomplishes his purposes in this way. Because Krishna does many things with one act. So the first is, when you have a disease, you know this medicine is going to cure your disease, and even though it may be painful to apply, it gives happiness, knowing that it's actually the cure. But again, this is the vision of a mature devotee. Second, suffering protects the confidentiality of devotional service. Very deep point. What does confidentiality mean? Intimate and secrecy. The secret value of devotional service. Because if only good things happen to devotees, then everyone would become a devotee for completely the wrong reason, and it wouldn't be devotion at all. So devotional service is secret. It is the most secret thing. And to protect this secret from misuse, Krishna allows his devotee to get the stinging ointments. But the devotees are not experiencing it in the same way that the materialistic mind thinks that they're experiencing it. Even if we read about the suffering and separation of the residents of Vrindavan, if our devotion is immature because they're fainting, they're drying up, they're dying, practically speaking. They're losing their life, the residents of Vrindavan. But actually, they're experiencing the highest of ecstasy, because in the uppercut lila, their separation from Krishna in the prakat lila, in the manifested world, is causing them to intimately associate with Krishna on the spiritual level. In the Padyavali, there is one verse and says being separate from Krishna is better than being with Krishna, because when you're with Krishna, there is one Krishna, and when you are not with Krishna, when you are separated from him, Krishna is everywhere I look. So Srila Jiva Goswami describes this phenomenon that through Vipralamba Bhav, through feeling the intense separation, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, which is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then actually on the uppercut level, Krishna cannot keep away from such a devotee. And he engages in pastimes with that devotee. So many things on many levels are going on at once, but when we look at the deep so-called suffering of the residents in Vrindavan from an immature platform, we'll naturally think this is the last thing I want to happen. This is the last thing I want to happen. And in this way, it keeps the confidentiality, the deepest secrets, or the suffering of the devotees, the so-called suffering of the devotees, it keeps the deepest secrets of the ecstasy of how Krishna deals with his devotees in his mysterious ways. It keeps that from the eyes. It hides it from the eyes of those who of non-devotees, practically speaking. So that's another reason. And also, he gives another reason still. It protects the disruption of the beliefs of the various categories of outsiders. They'll think, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'll keep worshipping this demigod and that demigod. Is. I get what I want that way. So their beliefs remain intact. So on a temporary level, this is Krishna's plan. Because one shouldn't disrupt, because if people stop worshipping with faith, the devas and devatas or what's described in the tamasic and the rajasic puranas in that way, they have nothing. And the Vedic system is so liberal and so broad that it brings everyone, regardless of their consciousness, and it's all inclusive and it gradually elevates everyone. So that's another reason. To protect the faith of people whose faith is extremely limited. Moreover, it increases the eagerness. Another reason why Krishna does this. It increases the eagerness with which the devotees call upon the Lord to appear. So it intensifies the devotees calling out to Krishna. It makes them call more sincerely. It makes them, the devotees, release, if they're immature, release their grip that we tend to have on matter. We tend to hold on. But when there's difficulty, that which we're holding on to proves to be completely insubstantial. And then we let go and call out for Krishna. More reasons why Krishna gives difficulties. If the devotees were complacently happy all the time, just peacefully, yes, Krishna consciousness, Jai Prabhu, everything is so nice. Pass another galabjaman, please. That's all we do. That's all we do around here. We sit and eat galabjamans. The Lord would never have reason to appear in the world if the devotees were like that. Krishna, Ramachandra, and Nisringadev, they come to protect the devotees and destroy the demons. As Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chidaskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavama yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I appear millennium after millennium. And without the Lord's showing himself on earth in his original form of Krishna and other incarnations, how would the devotees in this world be able to enjoy playing in the nectar ocean of the Rasa Lila and his other pastimes? So another question he brings up on the other side. But what fault would be there in God's incarnation, what fault would be there in God's incarnating for some other reason than to deliver his devotees? He creates a problem for his devotees and then comes and delivers them from that problem. Couldn't he think of another reason to come? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, yes, my dear brothers, this makes good sense, but you are not expert in understanding spiritual moods. Please listen. The sunrise appears attractive because of the darkness of night. During the hot summer, cold water gives comfort. And during the cold winter months, warm water is pleasing. Lamp light appears attractive in darkness, not in the glaring light of day. And when one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. And then he says, there is no need to speak any more about this topic. But there's one more verse that I'll read, which does speak more about this topic, but a little more. This is the next verse that First Sukadeva Goswami says, after saying, Hadishya Tadanam Sanai, I take everything from my devotees. That's my special mercy. Then he says, when my devotee becomes frustrated in his attempts to make money and instead befriends my devotees deeply, then I bestow my special mercy on him. Now here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's short comment here. Sri Krishna said, I will give my mercy, Krishya Maranugraham, to him. This is the second mercy. I will cause an extraordinary shower of sweet bhakti ras to rain down upon my devotee. It was for this purpose that my first mercy bore the fruit of tormenting pain. So Krishna's mercy comes in this the way it's described here, comes in two stages. One is the darkness, and then the sweet sunrise. So the difficulties is the first installment of Krishna's mercy, not the final installment, so don't worry. So he talks about the second installment a little bit more here, which is, in this verse, the statement, Krishya Mad Anugraham, I give my mercy, can be better stated as, I give mercy in the form of my very self. In other words, I give myself to the devotees. So this is a decision that perhaps we have to make. Is it worth it? To hold on to Krishna tightly during difficulties? And they do come, they will come, they are coming, they have come. And ultimately, leaving this body is the greatest inconvenience and difficulty. But if we tolerate it and faithfully seek Krishna's mercy in it, whatever it is, and I know very well that it's much easier to preach to others about this than when it's happening to me. Because my mind does not like this message. It really doesn't. But as I mentioned before, I'm so lucky because Krishna always gives me another chance. By giving me more difficulties at a different time. He's so kind in that way. If we can just hold on to Krishna no matter what happens and not let go no matter what happens, hold on, establish our position as Sharanagata regardless of how the material world is treating us, and seeing that this is the stinging medicine of a physician, because I have a disease of the eyes, and my disease of the eyes is I don't have premanjana charita bhakti valochanena that allows me to see Krishna everywhere. And the second installment that I have to look forward to is one day Krishna will be so merciful to me and give himself. Of course, one won't think I'm qualified for that. But that's Atma Pajanta Vidanyata. That is Bhakta Vatsalya Krishna. He will give himself to his devotee who just holds on to him and nothing else. Not holding on to the material world. Is that Hanuman or Bhim? Hanuman or Bhim? Real heroes prove themselves by their actions, not by their words. So the next verse is on the other side, the Kunti Devi says, on the other side of this verse. She's turning the materialistic conception of reality completely upside down. That which the materialistic mind perceives as terrible, which is calamities and sufferings, or we could say that the universe is not cooperating with my desires. The materialistic mind sees that as horrible, terrible. And she's saying this is the great fortune, because in that I'm holding on to you. And now the opposite of that she's going to speak about, that which the materialistic mind considers fortune, janmaishwaya shrutishribir edamana mana pumam na eva arhati abhidattam vai tvamakinshinaka. She's going to see that which everyone else thinks of as fortune, as the greatest misfortune. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are akinchana, materially exhausted, not trying to take shelter of anything in the material world. Those who have let go of matter and are holding on to Krishna. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, bodily beauty, moving in that direction, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Because you, Tvam Akinchana Gosha, you are the property of those souls whose shelter is Krishna. You belong to them. You give yourself to them. They give themselves to you. But those who are taking shelter of matter, na eva arhati abhidaktam vai, they are not able to call out to you, na eva arhati. Arhati means deserve. Eva, certainly. Na, no. They cannot call out to you with feeling. They cannot do it because they're planning how they can solve whatever the difficulty is by their janma, aishwarya, shruta, and shri, and beer. So there is no real calling out. Prabhupada's purport is important here. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences. And this madness, Prabhupada doesn't use the madness exactly here, but this madness is called advancement of material civilization. Just trying to acquire these things. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, proud, intoxicated by these temporary possessions. Intoxicated, proud, yes, I am beautiful. Yes, I am learned. Yes, I am famous. Yes, I am wealthy. The people in this world who have these things bestowed upon them, and perhaps the best example are the movie celebrities and the rock and roll singers who suddenly, with no character, get all this wealth and fame, they go mad. And they're drinking and they go crazy. They're proud. People are following them. Give me your autograph. Give this, that. And they're crazy. No satisfaction. They've gone mad. Because they don't know, they don't have the depth of consciousness to understand how they've gotten this and what the purpose of this wealth is. They're attached to it and they think it is me, practically speaking. So consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing Him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna. They cannot do that. It is said in the Shastra that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. He can remove by one calling out to Krishna more sins or sins that he's committed, the resultant sinful reactions, for thousands and millions and billions of births. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. Prabhupada says there is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. It is not mechanical. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he's incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. So Prabhupada here is speaking so strongly against making these things goals in our life, because even if we succeed, they will tend to make us so proud and cover our true nature. But there is more to this topic, so much more. Please, you can distribute them this way. Let's listen to something that Prabhupada speaks on this verse. I've also recently read something very interesting, not in a directly Krishna conscious book, but it was a deep explanation of four different, I think three people or so will have to share one sheet due to the lack of sheets. And this, what I read was that there are three or four different ways to give charity. One is three ways. One way is I'm giving charity because I want more back in return due to karma. Not very good charity, actually. And actually, the Shastra says, don't accept charity from this kind of charity. Contaminating. Because you'll have to come back to give 8 times, 10 times, or whatever it is. The second is dutiful charity. It is my duty to give something in charity. This type of charity is also not considered very high. And also sometimes, of course, in the Krishna consciousness movement, if people give whatever they give, we accept, but we don't take it for ourselves, otherwise it's quite dangerous, actually. But that type of charity, the dutiful charity, is not the real type of charity of spirit. But the third kind is when the consciousness of the person is that this is Krishna's money that has been placed in my hands by Krishna for the service of the devotees. And let me very, very carefully use that in the service of the Vaishnavas in their serving Krishna. That type of charity is real charity. This is not mine. It has been placed in my hands by Krishna to be used properly in his service. That is Krishna consciousness. Now, Prabhupada, interestingly enough, I wanted to play this yesterday, but we couldn't. But Prabhupada will speak about Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, a perfectly niskinchana devotee in this. And since today is his appearance day, it has happened in this way, I think, by the mercy of Gopinath. Is everyone ready? Spoken in Mayapur.
Now, Krishna begins to speak. See, Bhagavan was. See, Bhagavan was. Yes, the book does not say Krishna was.
Oh.
See, Bhagavan.
Excuse me.
Now, we should understand what is the meaning of Bhagavan. Bhagavan means simply realization.
Okay.
Janmai Sadya Sutta Sri Egamana Pada. Therefore, for spiritual advancement, if one is interested, they should not be too much attached to material things. If you want to advance in spiritual life, Janmai Sadya, because this will be entanglement. They, more and more, we shall think, this is mine. This is mine. Aham mamete. This is illusion. Nothing belongs to him. But by illusion, he will think this is mine. This is mine. Just like we have got this nice grand building in this district. If we think this is my building or my building, then there will be mishap. My Guru Maharaj said, personally, he said that when we are living in a rented house, if we could collect 200, 300 rupees, we are living very nicely at Bhutan. And since then, J.B. Dutta has given us this marble palace, Gauriyamon. There is fixed between our men. We will occupy this room, we will occupy that room, we will be prepared. Srinivasa was giving one tablet that this is. Everyone is planning in different ways. So Guru Maharaj said, he has personal instruction. If I could sell this marvel of this temple, and secure some money, and if I could print some books, that would have been better. That would have been better. Therefore, I am so much after book. If we forget our position, if we become counseling man, property man, then Krishna will be finished. Because Krishna is Akinchana Gochara. Therefore, we should always remember that we possess this nice house not for our comfort, but people will come because they are not accustomed. If we would have invited people, come and sit down on this Mayapur ground, no, there is no purpose. Therefore, we must possess Krishna's temple, very nice, so that people will come and we shall free. That is philosophy. Not that because we have got this nice house, therefore we should be very much attached. Attachment must be there. For Krishna's service, the temple must be very clean, the establishment must be very nice. What for? For attracting devotees. This is the purpose. Not for our personal means. That is, my Guru Maharaj introduced this big, big palaces, temple. That is the contribution of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because the Goswamis, they worship Krishna in a different method, going to Vrindavan, living under Nandi tree, and one night underneath one tree, next night, next tree. This vairagya is not possible for the Western people. Therefore, we require this belief. That is a contribution. Unless they live comfortably, it is not possible. And we have to preach all over the world. Nirbandhe Krishna Sambandhe. For Krishna's, therefore you will find in India there are many very big, big, costly temples, not personal houses. You will never find all over India. Go and see, just spend lots of money for temples. That was the Oriental civilization. Even the Mahavidas. They would construct very costly mosques, but they would live in huts. That was the intention. Whenever one is a little bit rich, he will find out how to spend it for Krishna, not for his sense gratification. Just like this Madan Mohan temple was constructed by a big merchant. He approached Sanatana Goswami, Sir, what can I do for you? I want to serve you. So Sanatana Goswami said, my Madan Mohan, I am living underneath the tree and my Madan Mohan is hanging. So if you can, you can construct a temple for Madan Mohan. Similarly, Maharaj Man Singh approached Rupa Goswami. They never constructed a big temple for their own living purpose, but Krishna's purpose. That is you. For Krishna, we must have everything very gorgeous and first class, but not for me. That is Akinchana. Personally, we should not possess anything. Simply for Krishna. So, that attitude should be maintained, because here it is said, Dham Akinchana Gochara. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he said that Nishkinchana. Here it is called Akinchana. And the same thing in different way, Nishkinchana. Akinchana means negation. And na means nihil. Niskinchan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Nukasya. Bhagavad Bhajan, to advance in spiritual life, to be engaged in Krishna's devotion and service, that is the aim of life. That is the purpose of human form of life. So for him, he should always remain niskinchan. Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Nukasya. So, therefore, Gaur Kishore Das Balaji, he remained niskinchan. And his disciple Bhaktisiddhanta says, he also remained niskinchan, although he possessed so many temples, because nothing was for his personal, but for Krishna. So, one may question that your Guru Maharaj was sitting on the ground in a municipal laboratory.
So he's referring to Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who's, this is his disappearance day, was sitting on the ground in Navadvip Dharamshala laboratory. Continue.
But he did not like that anybody should disturb him. He was sitting by the side of a municipal laboratory. And there was so many people will come for darshan and ashirvad. He did not like. He did not like to be disturbed by this ashirvad. They will not take any spiritual instruction. They are thinking that here is a saintly person and he will bless me. So I have got now 1,000, I will tell 10,000. That's all. Therefore they come. They do not come to take any spiritual instruction. Therefore it is botheration. It is botheration. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj did not like this botheration. He was sitting by the side of a municipal lodge, so that this rascal will not come out of the bad smell and will not be come. So Maharaj Manindranandi, he was one of the, he had organized one Sankirtan festival. So he came to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and to invite him. So after many requests, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, Maharaj, you have got many tenants. You are Maharaj. Why you are trying to make me your tenant? Because you are a rich man, you also want, as your tenant carries your order, so you also want me. So why you are? No, sir, no. You are my lord. Whatever you say, I shall carry out. Will you carry out? Why not? So he said, don't go home, sit down. Chant Hare Krishna. He played Hare Krishna. So you are very humorous also. That if you are so obedient, then I ask you, don't go home. Better give up your dress and chant Hare Krishna. So he was walking. So similarly, just like Ramanandala, he was Griyastha, very opulent governor. He was akincha, because nothing was possessed by Krishna. Everything for Jagannath.
Just see how subtle this is. It is a matter of internal consciousness. So he's given the example of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and now he's giving the example, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was Sakshat Vairagya, didn't possess anything at all,
And now he's giving the example of Ramananda Roy, who had no mood of "I am the possessor," but he was opulent, completely wealthy, but no mood of "this is mine for my material pleasure." Rather, everything belongs to Jagannath. So how wonderful and broad this philosophy is.
This is the distinction. And one side, Rupa Goswami, and one side, Ramanandara. And Ramanandara is the most confidential devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is a grihastha, because he is akinchan, as akinchan as Rupa Goswami.
Now Prabhupada is going to make the point about us that we have to become a kinchan, this kinchan, holding on to Krishna and Krishna only.
We have to become akinchan, then we shall realize Krishna. Therefore it is said, akinchan gurucharan. You are understandable only by a person who does not possess so-called material opulence. So we should always remember that whatever we are trying for material, it is all for Krishna, nothing for us. So that people may, big gorgeous temperament, people will be attracted to come here and he'll distribute Krishna's prasadam. The aim is somehow or other to turn them, to convert them into Krishna consciousness. Then you remain akinchan. And if you think that we have got now a very big house, we shall live comfortably and sleep comfortably, then nagochara, then Krishna will not be realized. Then the comfort will be realized only, not Krishna. Akinchan. We should always remain that.
Very heavy. Especially, Prabhupada is speaking so clearly about the usage of the temples and the moods in the temples. That it is Krishna's temple. One time, another example of this fact was when Prabhupada came to Hong Kong in 1974, we arranged him to stay in the Hong Kong Hilton, which was one of the big luxury hotels at that time. And we got him some huge rooms, this huge suite, penthouse suite, where the Shah of Iran had just stayed previously. And very, very big suite. Huge. And we called a press conference. Very, very, very opulent. And the reporters, this was the same press conference that Jagtwini Mataji was mentioning, that they asked about this Balkrishna Yogeshwar. And they kept pressing Prabhupada. He didn't want to get into an intergroup conflict, but they kept pressing him. What do you think about him? What do you think about him? What do you think? And finally Prabhupada said, he's a dog. And a cheater. But Krishna is the greatest cheater. And he will be cheated by Krishna. And all the reporters were so thrilled because they had conflict, a story, and they wrote it down. And the next day, the newspapers carried a big headline, not headline, but a big, big story that the founder of the Hare Krishna movement calls this other one a dog. And it actually made Time magazine. And just a few months after that, this Balkrishna Yogeshwar, he had a very gorgeous secretary, disciple. And you can just imagine the rest of the story. But he ended up marrying her. And then his mother got so upset. I send him to the West and he marries a Videshi, you know, something like that. She got so upset, and he was saying that he was God. So she said, he's not God anymore. Now his older brother is God.
Really?
And from that moment on, it was all lost. All lost. So Prabhupada said he's a dog and a cheater. And the next day some supporters of his came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so cool and so charming when he dealt with them. And as Mataji said, Prabhupada said to him, he's a rascal. The rascal doesn't think, how can I be God and have a toothache and have to go to the hospital? So he's a rascal. So Prabhupada convinced him, and by the end they came to protest Prabhupada's strong words. At the end they had to agree. How could he say he doesn't think, if I'm God, how do I have to, my toothache is so bad that I have to go to the hospital? So Prabhupada said, rascal. So it was a successful press conference. But in the beginning, one of the reporters, the first question that was asked was, here you are in this opulent penthouse of the Hong Kong Hilton, and you're preaching renunciation. Isn't that hypocrisy? And Prabhupada, first he explained it philosophically, that everything is Krishna's energy and meant to be used in Krishna's service. But it was too philosophical for the reporter. So then finally Prabhupada said to him, and there were so many reporters, but the one who asked this question, he said, for me, I could live under a tree. But if I was living under a tree and I called a press conference, would you come? And the reporter said, no. And then he understood. And this is the mood. This was Prabhupada's mood. That everything should be used for Krishna's service and not renounced. That's called sukshma vairagya. Yes? Dry renunciation. But everything is Krishna's. What is there that I can renounce? It all belongs to Krishna. How can I renounce it? How can I say that when... simple point. How can I renounce it? One can only renounce what belongs to one. How could renounce one? I could walk into the bank and say, I renounce all the money in the bank. It's ridiculous, because it's not mine to renounce. So Prabhupada really saw everything as belonging to Krishna. One time he even said there used to be a picture of Ramakrishna when someone is offering him money and Ramakrishna is going like this. And Prabhupada said, they should take a picture of me, they're offering me money and I'm going like this. Because it's Krishna's. It's Krishna's. And any other consciousness than this is actually illusion. It is Krishna's. So one akinchana was Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Lived with nothing, practically speaking. Another akinchana, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who had big marble temples, but completely akinchana. Another akinchana mentioned, Srila Rupa Goswami, possessed nothing, living under one tree after the next. Another akinchana, Ramananda Roy, possessed so much wealth and so much opulence, but such an intimate associate of Mahaprabhu. No attachment to that. Just it is Krishna's, like that charitable person. The right kind of charity. Krishna has given me this for his service. Also a Kinshana. So very, very wonderful. Very, very wonderful, very, very deep. And Twama Kinshana Gochara. That you are the property of that kind of an Akinshana, whose shelter is you, who will call out to you with feeling, with love, taking full shelter of you, seeing you in everything that happens. That Akinshana who calls out to Krishna, who has captured the lotus feet of Krishna in his heart. The externals are external. That kind of a Kinshana who can call out to Krishna with feeling, I am yours, you are mine. That kind of a Kinshana will see Krishna everywhere and every time. Okay. There was just one other thing, and that thing was we should what? No. That's not what I was going to talk about. But I think that we can end by having a short visit to Vrindavan, because that is where we are meant to go. And there are three things in Vrindavan that are considered so merciful. And one is the dust of Vrindavan. And the second is Giriraj Govardhan. And the third is the Jamuna. So now we will visit the Jamuna. Okay. It's a short one. And this is one where we should sing along. Yes. On behalf of Jagatwini Mataji and I, I'm not sure exactly how to phrase this, but we would sincerely like to thank His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and all the devotees at Radha Gopinath Mandir for doing exactly what Prabhupada had said in that lecture. There are so many different varieties of Akinshana devotees here, and what you're doing is so important for the whole society, and not only for the whole society is important, but it's also important for me and Mataji. Was so touched and enlivened by the devotion, the intelligence, the organization, the financial management, the cleanliness, but more than anything else, the warmth and affectionate serving mood of all the devotees. And thank you so much.
Don't say anything.
I have been asked to mind my own business. So I have learned my lesson. So I have decided to, when I was instructed to speak a few words at the end, I decided to put my words in writing so that I won't deviate. First of all, I have 3 points to make. I think the visit of Gurujan Prabhu and Jagat Tarini Mataji for these few days, I have put it in my own words, was like a wholesome diet, a wholesome meal or a wholesome feast, which contains all the ingredients necessary to satisfy every aspect of the tongue and the body. So similarly, their visit was physically, emotionally, intellectually and spiritually a wholesome diet. Physically, it was so fulfilling to the senses simply to behold the most devoted, steady, dedicated and mature disciples of Srila Prabhupada and the effulgent and blissful and refined nature of theirs was a feast to the eyes and to the whole being. Emotionally, the sweet loving exchanges and the relationship exchanged among themselves and amongst us, one of deep appreciation, deep respect and gratitude towards each other and towards the whole congregation here, was so much nourishing for all of us just to see these kind of sweet loving relationships. Intellectually, obviously it was so invigorating, enthusing and enlightening as we got this a brilliant perspective. I'm sure many of us will now not hesitate in chanting this particular verse of Kunti Devi. Most of us sincerely could not dare go in front of the Lord and chant this prayer. Now at least we have some understanding. And spiritually, of course, it was so much faith building. In essence, by this visit, we understood how important it is to chant the holy name, one name at a time. And also we could appreciate during Prabhupada's disappearance day, Prabhupada's contribution and what he had to actually go through, a glimpse of what he had to go through to establish and give us all these wonderful spiritual blessings that we have got. We also learnt how to uncover the curtain of Maya, we have to actually surrender. That is the beginning. Sharanagati is the beginning, the doorway to actually bhakti. And to surrender to that beauty, appreciation, we have to understand the bhakta vatsala nature of Krishna and also his vadanya mood. Understood the importance of approaching the deity with a prayerful mood and appreciate this particular gift of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, which he has manifested. I'm sure we are able to appreciate a different perspective to the calamities in our life. And also, the integrity of the devotee is not going to trade anything in exchange for Krishna's devotion. And the third point and the last point was, I was thinking we should all of us request both of them to come again and again, but I was hesitant, but now I'm very confident. We can request them and they will come. The proof of this is a little exchange that somehow Krishna's special mercy I had with Gurujan Prabhu. When I spoke the words which I shouldn't have a few days back, and immediately after that I was feeling very bad throughout the day, throughout the night. And next day, Govind Prabhu came and told me that Gurujan Prabhu is calling you. I was surprised. He knows me, he calls me. I'm sure. He said, no, he is calling you. And he was standing near the ex-Gurukul building and I went there. And he told me in a so nice way, which I later realized was a chastisement. It was like an iron hand in a velvet glove, very sweetly given. He said, I think what you spoke was a little inappropriate because he's such a senior and gentle Vaishnava and shouldn't we speak, especially so many people laughed, it wasn't appropriate. And I realized my mistake that I often make but very rarely realize. So, and I was meditating on this, that it was why we hear so many times that somebody chastises, it's actually a special mercy. The first thing is, it shows a love and deep concern for a particular devotee, specifically to one particular person, and trying to correct him. The whole reason we are here in the material world is, we want to be corrected. And anyone who facilitates is actually giving Krishna's mercy so that we can purify ourselves. So, he took the trouble, which is not absolutely against his nature, I could see, to call and make this a point to speak. Unless there is love and deep concern, nobody would actually take the trouble. Why should I say it? Let him do something. And the second thing was his confidence that probably it will be taken up if the correction is made. And thirdly, you won't correct someone if you don't consider them your own. So, I feel based on this particular one, just like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that sometimes this kind of bitter ointment is required for the child or the mother sending the child to school. So, he has accepted me as Jai Gurupad, but I want to assure that there are 83 Jai Gurupads here in this ashram and many, many more who would love to take the wonderful guidance, and many daughters. Yeah, I told you, the whole congregation, specifically right here at the doorstep, I said. And so I'm sure after the hunger for 360 days, next 5 days when he comes next year, we will be able to relish it much more. Maybe a little less, 150 days also is much welcome. The more separation, the more you are able to relish. And I sincerely beg on behalf of all the devotees that you can keep coming more and more often. And I could see, this is like, I never seen so many congregations spontaneously coming and attending through the whole thing right at the time. So, this is the proof that all of us are really hungry for this kind of so much enlightening and wholesome message. So, if all of you agree that with what I have worded it, if it is in accordance with your desire, then we will express it in our Radha Gopinath style. If you want our local GBC to approve, you have to shout little loudly so he can hear. And as a token of our appreciation, a brief token, I will request His Grace Sinaji Prabhu to kindly offer them a small gift.
Hare Krishna. On behalf of all the devotees at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, the devotees have asked me to present a very tiny little gift. As stated by Rupa Goswami, love is exchange with exchange of gifts. So you have given us the greatest gift, that is Krishna and Krishna Bhakti, and we cannot reciprocate sufficiently. But a small token is being considered, which you may, and Jagat Tarini Mataji may kindly accept this on behalf of all the devotees. As stated by Prabhuji, please note that we are going to capture you. We have captured you in our hearts. And I hope you will definitely, both of you, come with your son and enlighten us as you have done before.
That actually, in my case, I came here very, very primarily because Radhana Swami showed so much kindness to Aljai Gurupad and gave him such unconditional affection that I thought it would be very nice to try to reciprocate in some small way with that mood. And being here has been so refreshing and nourishing, meeting so many devotees, and just being in their association. So, as we heard, there's not only one Jai Gurupad, but there are so many wonderful devotees here. So, thank you so much. I know it's not very Vedic to say thank you, but as Westerners, we don't quite know what to say instead, because we've been raised this way. But it has been so nice being here with you.
In Bengali they say, anek koshto korechi. We've given you so much trouble. You've taken care of us so nicely in our staying and everything. And we've kept you up late every night. But still you're all so kindly affectionate to us. We humbly request that through your prayers that we can become what you were saying we were. So please don't withhold your affectionate prayers for us. Thank you. And Jai Gurupad and our daughter Lalita also. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.